Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
For 6 hours and let her breathe on me.
Please, this is a wig.
Shut the front door. Really? It's but a lace front?
I got it in Nigeria. No, you just flop it on your head.
No, okay, because, right, but now I'm looking at, because this is a wig too, of course, but the edges up at the top, that is flush to your head.
Yeah, it's, they just.
Really?
They just make very good wigs, yeah.
Yes,
and I like braid wigs because they just look for, you know, you can just, yeah, I have a couple of them.
How much are they there in Nigeria?
This one at the time was, I think, what would have been equivalent of like $150 maybe.
So it's human hair?
Yeah, it's human. Well, yeah, as in, yeah, human hair. It's soft. It's, you know.
And yeah,
it's pretty long.
It's synthetic. Yeah, let me see this. Yeah. Wave. Oh, it's gorgeous.
And I've had it for a while. I'm actually so tired of it because I wear it all the time. And because of COVID, like here, we've been on lockdown. Like we only just opened up like last week. And salons and stuff still haven't opened since like last year. So I'm so tired of.
Well,
I'm so tired of wearing this wig. But oh my God, this guy's mowing the lawn.
But like right it's gorgeous. I wouldn't be tired of wearing it. How do you wash your wigs?
Oh, just put it in the sink with just use like some I use like, you know, that co-washing kind of shampoo you use for natural hair.
I use fabric softener.
Oh, really?
Fabric softener. So I take a cup of fabric softener, I put it like in a little bucket. And then I put it in there. It smells so good. It breaks up
the
residue that's in there. And then I rinse it with water. I shake it and I hang it outside. I don't comb it. I shake it outside and let it just air dry.
That's actually a great idea.
Yeah, the fabric softener.
Ever heard of that before.
Yeah, just a little bit. You don't have to use a lot. So I am so excited. And look it, I'm going to have to edit this because we recording right now.
We're talking about hair,
but you know what? Hey, you got to talk about
black women. We're going to talk about hair.
Absolutely, because it's all about the brain. It's all about the brain and what we do. And I'm so excited to have you here on the edge. Now, let me make sure I say your name correctly. Nakiru Asaka.
No, Nkiru. Like, kind of like, I pretend it's I-N-K. Should I put it in the chat, like how you can might say it?
Okay, so Nkuru?
No, it's Nkiru? Like Nkiru.
Okay, Nkiru.
Yeah, so if you kind of like say it closer to that, Nkiru Asika. That's how you might say it.
Asika, that's beautiful. So you are there in the UK, girl. What in the world is
going
on?
I am in Toronto. I'm in Toronto.
You're in Toronto. Let me get this straight. For some reason, I thought that you were in... Okay, you're originally from Nigeria, then you moved
I am from Nigeria. I grew up in the UK. In my childhood, I was going back and forth between the UK and Nigeria. Sorry, somebody just started mowing the lawn, like right outside here.
How dare they? But I can't hear
him. Oh my God. Oh, you can't? Okay, well, that's good, because he's literally right out. I'm like, oh my God, he's like right outside the window.
This is, our conversations are so relaxed because... You know, I don't want to always be in that business mode. That's not realistic, you know?
That's totally fine. And I'm also glad you didn't have, because I've done some of these. They send you like 8 questions. I'm like,
But see, you are here on the edge with me. Okay?
Oh, I forgot about, I'm supposed to have this, right?
No, you don't have to have anything. Just be yourself, girl. I told you, I got everything you need right here on the edge.
Okay, all right, cool.
So, Nkiru, did I say that right?
Yes, that was excellent.
Okay. What in the world are you doing in the world? Because I've been watching your videos. You are a dynamic interviewer. Yes, you are. I love your voice inflection. I like the way that you engage with your people. But you are also into, I got my notes here. I want to make sure I got everything right. You are into marketing and promotion and publishing. You're doing you're doing way too much, sister.
No, it is all like focused on one thing, which is helping women entrepreneurs, especially like coaches and consultants and service providers, you know, like solopreneurs, like step out into their authority. You know, a lot of us have the tendency to hide behind our work, kind of hoping that someone will discover you, you know, trying to figure out how to stand out online. It's so competitive. So my whole thing is to offer services, events, and an upcoming membership that will help female entrepreneurs get seen, get heard, and get paid.
That's imposter syndrome. You know, you meet somebody right now, they don't send themselves, they send their representative. Oh, this is who I want to be. This is my hair option today. This is my lipstick. This is my conversation. And this is what I can do. Does that fit your profile? You know, it's so disingenuous.
I hear you.
People have a hard time being authentic, though, because sometimes when you show up authentic, that can be pretty scary, too.
I think because, I don't know, the tone of the world generally in the last few years has gotten a lot more like harsh. Like people aren't like civil. You know what I mean? And like on social media, people just feel they can say anything. So
get on them. When they have that keyboard courage on me, I get on you and then I block you. I don't want to have nothing to do with you no more. No more. And that's not that you're not a great person. You can be in that space, but you have to be in that space without me. Because
exactly. I'm for
it. And it used to be where like a comedian could say anything and it'd be funny. You could talk about the disabled. You could talk about, you know, weight. You could talk about color. You could talk about sexual orientation and we would crack up.
Yeah, but now, because it's funny.
But now it's the cancer culture.
Yeah. I know. That's for me, I'm like, just don't touch. In fact, I think it's Dave Chappelle that said it. He's like, don't touch comedy. Don't touch hip hop. For me, those are the two. Just like, there's no, you know. Don't come and tell me anything about comedy. Don't come and tell me anything about hip hop.
No, they don't. For me, those are the two things. We have to laugh instead of cry because everything is so serious now, you know?
And I know.
People, you know, even back into the business world, women are having a lot of time, having a hard time, pivoting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were dressed to the nine, going to the office with the briefcase, you know, collecting the $4,000-$5,000 a month, and now they're at home scratching their head, trying to figure out, you know, the new math for their kids.
Yep.
What do you say to that person that's trying to get exposure, but they've been submerged under this pressure of COVID?
Well, you know, the truth is, as tough as it is, and I completely, you know, understand, you also have to realize that we're like blessed to be living in the most incredible time in the history of the world, in which you can be like someone that nobody knows, and just through this device here, just through this, even this simple Zoom platform, you can reach someone at the other end of the world. I mean, I think we have to recognize the power in that.
Absolutely.
You know, and take advantage of it.
Maximize it. And I tell people all the time, you know, the world is a big old oyster now, and all you have to do is pick a pearl. You have more accessibility to people than you ever have before.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You can capitalize on that. And it is via Zoom. I mean, look at you. You're in Canada. I'm in California. You know, you're just
there
a
you
point
go.
And a click away, and you can still do business.
Exactly.
You can do more business. So talk about the publishing world, because I'm a self-published author.
Okay.
That's a challenge, too, because what I'm finding, I talk to every author on the planet, it's one thing for them to publish. It's another thing to sell through the product. The publisher's responsibility is not the salesperson. They help you get that
exactly.
market. They help you market it, but you have to be responsible. Talk to that person for me.
Okay, well, first of all, I'll just plug a little bit about what I do in the publishing space. I represent a UK hybrid publisher called Rethink Press as their commissioning editor for North America and Africa. Okay, and basically we help entrepreneurs plan, write, and publish their books. And we're a hybrid publisher, which means that, you know, you pay, but we are a full publishing company. We're like 40 people strong, professional book editors, designers, everything. So you have the service of a traditional publisher, but you own the rights, you own the book, you know. But what we always tell people is, you're not trying to write a book because you're trying to make a lot of money from your book.
Right.
If that's what you're trying to do, you're like, you know, you just have the wrong strategy right out the gate. You've got to realize that the book is like a door opener for you, right? The book is like a business card on steroids. The book should be leading people to just want to know more about what you do, and you lead them to that thing that actually makes you money. So a book is just an incredible vehicle for anyone who is like a speaker or a consultant or a coach, any business really. You know, you use your book as that really high value, you know, front end
right.
offer that brings them into your world and lets them like know and like and trust you and see that you're someone who really has expertise in this area. And you carry on from then. It's not about how many books you're going to sell on Amazon. How many books are you going to sell for how much? Like, oh, be serious.
Well, you know, I can agree to disagree with you on that.
Okay.
Because I have sold 17,000 copies of my books out of the chunk.
That is incredible. That is incredible.
Is there's 2.4 billion people on this planet.
True.
That book needs to be marketed, in my opinion,
yeah.
and to be sold
yeah.
because if people don't put a value on it and people don't purchase mm-hmm. your book, it becomes mm-hmm. a pamphlet. They don't have the buy-in. They just
yeah.
put mm-hmm. it on their desk. But if I spend $20 for a book, I've got an investment. I'm going to take the time and read through it, flip through it,
mm-hmm.
go through some mm-hmm. programs. And it's my body of work. I've delivered this baby. I want mm-hmm. people to make an investment in it. So I mm-hmm. give it as a calling card. But I also yeah. say, attach a value to that. You've got to.
Oh, no, for sure. Oh, sell it. Yeah, for sure.
Because a lot
for
of people
sure.
don't sell it. Oh, I just have a book and I just give it away. Okay, well, good for you, Marge.
Yeah, no. Sell it for sure. You know, we have a retail distribution network. We use Amazon and other places. Definitely sell it because you're right. And I love that. If you don't sell it, it becomes a pamphlet. I love that.
Yeah. Even in anthologies, you know, I get on people all the time. They work in these collaborative projects, but they never market it. Okay, you're
yeah.
age 20 to 25. What did you contribute? Because that's your body of work.
Right.
A collaborative piece, you know.
Right.
I get that. But they lose themselves in the pages of these books. And so.
Okay, in the mix. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do. So what yeah. is fun, though, in the publishing world? Now, do you just work with business professionals, or do you work with fictional artists, or
no, it's just it's business people, personal development. It could be your, you know, memoir, but it's probably, but you're probably still a business person. So it's definitely nonfiction, not fiction in any way.
So how did all of this great publishing and promotion and marketing find you?
How did it find me? Well, I mean, I have always been in this space in one way or another. Just this, my natural interests, my natural skill sets are anything to do with like writing and communication and media. So my entire career, my entire life, I've been in content in one way or another. I used to be a journalist for several years in New York City. I've produced reality TV shows in Nigeria. I've done strategic communications. I've done training in communications. I've been online copywriter. And then I, you know, got into the publishing company with Rethink last year. So it's just, I've always been in this space. It's just, it's what I do. It's who I am. It's what I know.
Well, you do a beautiful job of it. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand how progressive things are in Nigeria. Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
An epicenter of Africa. It is
fashion. Oh, yeah.
Girl, y'all got the fashion down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the fashion, the culture.
The music.
So how is it for women there? You know, is it very progressive for women in business there?
Very, very. In fact, sometimes I feel that the, you know, it's, how would I put it? In some ways, obviously, we're still a very patriarchal society, mm-hmm. right? Especially the parts of the country that are Muslim, right? But in many ways, I find women are more vocal. I find women are more, they're just doing stuff. You know, there's no people, they don't feel restricted. They're almost more out there than they are in the West. It's strange. It's like a strange kind of like.
Oh no, because I've had a couple disparity, guests that have, again, like I said, been fashion designers and mm-hmm. you know, really women progressive in politics. They're really making a statement from that. And just from my experience as a Black American observing from the outside, it is mm-hmm. a strong cultural difference because it's always been that women have been more subdued and suppressed historically.
Some.
You know, mm-hmm. yeah, some. But then you mm-hmm. look, too, that there are women that are leading tribes. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we are, it's kind of that thing which I think you see in probably in many Black families or cultures, wherever they are, where, yes, you would say it's a man's world, but in so many ways, it's women that hold the power. It's like, like for a lot of people, even in their family, right? Maybe their dad was the main breadwinner, but who ruled the house? I mean, let's just be real.
Exactly. I mean, he brought, you know, they say he brought home the bacon, but I fried it up in the pan.
Yeah. who was really in control?
Okay. So now you've done that and you're also a mother of two. How do you
create? I am a mother of two. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you create that work-life balance for yourself?
Oh, well, I mean, for now it's easy because they're like pretty much grown, you know, so. They're like 22 and 20, so
they are never grown. My 33-year-old is had to move back home.
Well, I know why you're right. That actually never grown, but
parenting is different. But you know, I'm sure that as they were smaller, you were working too. How did you balance that?
Yes, yeah. You know what? It's tough, and you know, I've been a single parent since they were like 4 and 6, so. So I basically raised them on my own. So it's definitely tough, but you have to like give yourself a break. And I remember, you know, sometimes, you know, people would say, you know, it must be tough not having a husband, not having a man. I'm like, yeah, it is. But you know what was also really tough? Not having a wife.
Right.
I needed a wife because I had to go out and do stuff. I remember when I was in TV production, we're doing, you know, I would have to travel a lot. I needed a wife, you know, so it's, yeah. You just do the best you can and
you do the best
pray.
You can and you have family. And
you have family.
Also, now you have boys or girls?
I have one boy, one girl.
Okay. So
yeah.
what would be a conversation that you would have with your daughter about life now and, you know, setting goals and setting her dreams?
What an interesting question. Yeah, I mean, honestly, what I would say is, you know, first of all, like, know who you are, you know, because when it comes down to it, you know, the older I get, the more I realize how important it is to live the life you want, not the life for your parents. There's stuff I want, you know, I'm their mom, right? There's things I want them to do, but ultimately, I know that I have to be like, you know, it's their life.
Right.
You know, you only get one shot in this life and it is so short. I've lost so many people. You know, I know how short life is, you know. So just know yourself, know what's important to you, do what's important to you, know what you value. You know, if you when you get into trouble is when you're doing stuff that, you know, deep down, it's just not, it's like, it's not you. It's not, it just doesn't, it doesn't align with you, right. You know? And then stretch yourself, because it's so easy to just try and stay in a little, like, stay right. in your comfort zone.
A bubble, in a little bubble.
Don't take risks. Yeah, but just take those risks, because you just never know. Like, say yes to things that are scary, you know?
Exactly. What would you say to your son being a Black man in today's mm-hmm. world? Because it's rough.
It is. It is, you know, and it's fun. I mean, I don't know if I shouldn't, maybe this is not politically correct to say.
Girl, please, we are on the air. I wish somebody would talk some politics to me, okay? Right is right and wrong is wrong. I don't care. I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah. When I was moving to, because I moved to Canada towards the end of 2017, and my kids are actually American citizens also. They were born in New York City. I was married in New York City. City Hall, they were born in New York City. We were, you know, they're actually American citizens, but they're Nigerian citizens as well. So when we're moving from Nigeria to Canada, people ask me, why would you move to Canada? Why wouldn't they move to the States? They're American, you know? And it was 2017. So it was around that period where, I swear to God, it was like every 5 minutes, a Black man was being shot on TV. I was like,
and especially in New York. And, you know,
like, America's
awful.
Yeah, I was like, this, I can't, no. You know, I just, this, I cannot.
No,
and I really was not a fan of your president either, so.
Which one, you know. 45 or 46? I call them by their number. Wait a minute. So.
The Donald.
I was
not a fan. So, I just, you know, America was just a no-go to me. For guys, I thought to myself, I have a teenage boy who, he's American, but he left America when he was young. And I'm now going to put him in this,
No. And you know what? It was such an upheaval around the world after George Floyd's murder. Everybody marched with us because it mm-hmm. has just become ridiculous. Yeah. And you don't know what to say. You know, I have a Black husband. I have a Black son. Mm-hmm. They're still mm-hmm. two grown men. So you don't necessarily have to worry about just the adolescents. You have to worry about Black men as being an endangered species anyway. And a woman got in it with me at the Target. Well, you know, we were just talking about wigs, but I rock an afro, and mm-hmm. I have a Black Lives Matter shirt on.
Yeah, I used to have a big afro.
Yeah, and so she's all in my business, okay? I don't know why one particular race is more important than the other, and every life matters, and you know, she's doing all this junk in front of me,
all life
and I'm
matter.
Saying to myself, mm-hmm. okay, April, you have a choice here. What are you going to do? Are you going to go all in and be on the evening news? Or are you going to make this a teachable moment? Okay? So I opt to make it a teachable moment. And I turned around and I said, look, Marge, that's my pet name. I said, you know, I don't know if you've had a bad experience with particular cultures, if there is, you know, some deep-rooted trauma. I said, but if there's anything that I can help you with, if I can have a conversation with you, if I can take you to coffee to get this anxiety off of you, I said, because you're really trying to bait me. I said, and I, you know, I don't deserve that. I have a right to feel the way that I feel. All lives do matter, but at this mm-hmm. particular point, on this particular day, this mm-hmm. is who I am supporting.
Right.
She looked at me, and she went from the 12th floor down to the basement. Her face turned red. Everybody in the line was kind of looking at her because, you know, they was waiting for some action.
Right. Bring out their cell phones. Like.
Exactly. But you know what? This is an opportunity to have that conversation. Mm. Either you say nothing or you say something positive to turn it around. So as I exited Target and she exited Target, I went my way, I went her way. She turned around and looked at me. I kind of winked my eye. And it was, you know, it was diffused.
All good. Yeah.
But you know, girl, I'm telling you, it could have been ugly and all that neck rolling and finger pointing.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not doing all that.
No need for that. Yeah, I mean, because ultimately, we have to learn from each other. We have to, you know,
we have to coexist on this planet, whether we like each other or not. Mm-hmm. I don't like okra, so I don't put it on my plate. But if you put it on your plate, I don't have any problem with it because it's something you enjoy. We've lost the art of allowing people not to like things as well. Just like comedians can't talk about certain things. There's certain things I'm not going to just go along to get along. I'm not that girl.
I'm just completely. I think people don't. It's like the lack of critical thinking. You know, it's like especially on social media, people just like before growing up. You know, maybe you watch the news. And then you read the newspaper and, you know, there's like different sources of
different perspectives, right?
Perspectives, different perspectives. But now you can choose to just keep yourself in a hole of, you know, your own viewpoint surrounded by people who think exactly like you. You never hear anything different. You're not open to any other kind of idea. You're just in your own echo chamber. And I'm like, you know, it's crazy.
That is absolutely scary. You lose a sense of who you are, you know, and some of these news broadcasts, because I've worked in television and I have been in prepared audiences for some of the world's greats. And the first thing the producer comes out, the executive producer, okay, get ready, because we are here to create television, not deliver the news, not give you information from trusted sources. We are here to create television. So remember that when you watch TV. That's why podcasts and videocasts and blogs are so popular now.
Right.
Because it is an independent source that we can banter back and forth, that we can say what we want to say, you know, and not be under the constraints of advertisers or politicians or executives. You know, you have more of a choice. Talking about choices, I want to get into this a little bit. You create summits also. Tell me the premise of your summits and the effectiveness that, you know, that they create in the business world. How effective are they?
Okay, well, a couple of summits, and I have another one coming up in September. And essentially, the summits I'm focused on now are focused on women, focused on teaching female entrepreneurs about the different ways in which they can leverage like online platforms, offline platforms to build their brands and build bigger businesses. So typically the summit I'll have expert speakers on things like publicity, speaking, podcasting, you know, publishing, you know, creating marketing funnels, how to monetize your expertise, all that kind of stuff. So topics that will help female entrepreneurs grow, basically put themselves out there, grow a bigger brand, grow a bigger business. Those are the areas that I focus on with the summit. So I have another one in September, and it will be again on similar topics. I always have really cool speakers.
Yeah,
good vibe.
Really
get a great
vibe.
Playlist, and it's fun.
It's a great energy.
Fun.
Why do you think that women still need so much help in becoming trailblazers? And we'll say, you know, I'll say American women, because we just talked about, you know, Nigerian women just really kind of finding themselves. But this is the decade of the woman. It's like we burned our bras and we got an opportunity to vote. And, you know, why are we still kind of behind the curve? Is it because we spent so much time mothering? Is it because our voice has been suppressed? Because we've been victimized? You know, we're coming through with the YouTube movement. Where do you think the gap is?
I honestly think that it is... all of that plays into it. I mean, the truth is, we have been victimized. We are still victimized. There is just as there's institutional racism, there's institutional sexism. There has been since the beginning of time. There continues to be today. There's such a huge gap in, you know, terms of there's the fact that still in North America, a woman does not earn the same as a man for doing the same job. Right. It's ridiculous. Right. Like how is that even like why is that even
how's that even possible? Right.
How's that even possible in 2021? You know, there's it's somewhere in a, like here in Canada, share of voice for women, like in just in the public sphere is like 20%. Mm. You know, I remember reading a statistic that of all the capital, all the venture capital raised globally, something like 2% went to women run companies and 0.06% went to companies founded by women of color. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? It's just insane.
And it is. And we really need to step into our power, you know, our buying power. We need to really figure out how much money we're pouring into these economies. Mm-hmm. Remember, we're the ones that do the grocery shopping. We're the ones that schedule the vacations. We're the ones that, you know, go out and buy
everything for the children. Everything. So anything for children is really the women.
Anything, you know, for the household within itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So a man may go out and, you know, we're not man bashing. We're just having a conversation. So don't.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No, I'm just telling my male brains before they go, they go to click off. Oh, here they go. We love you. We absolutely love you. But, you know, this is time that we need to speak to women to really kind of look at, you know, investing, mm-hmm. the insurance, building a business, having a side hustle, mm-hmm. having your own mm-hmm. savings. You know, mm-hmm. all of this is very, very important for sustainability, women.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100%. You know, and we also need the men. You were saying, you know, that we're not trying to scare off the men. We're not. No. We need the men.
I don't want to emasculate you. I mean, I just celebrated 37 years of marriage Mr. Magnificent. And
that's awesome.
And
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll tell you honestly, we have not always been parallel.
I mean, come on, you can't be. Even if you were twins, you can always be parallel.
And you know, and people always say, "Oh, well, you know, I just want to be. I don't want to be equal to my husband. I kind of like him mm-hmm. to, you know, be the hunter mm-hmm. and the gatherer and to be the strong man. But I am the voice. I am the comfort. I am the cushion. And sometimes we have to switch roles. And you know when it's your turn to be at the head of the line?
To step up. Mm-hmm.
It's about flexibility. And that's in every aspect of your life, with your children, with your business, with your relationships, yep. you know. And so that's...
I agree.
Well, you have just been a wealth of information. Oh, my God. I love you here on the edge.
Thank you, April. It's been great being here. It's been such a fun conversation.
Yeah. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, because I want them to work with you. You know, again, we're global and we are here in California. You are in Canada. We've got people in London. Yep. We've got people in Nigeria. We really want to reach out and work together. How do they contact you?
Okay, great. Well, they can contact me at womenbuildingauthority.com. They can also, you know, hit me up on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a good place to connect with me personally. I'm in Kira Sika on LinkedIn. I'll send April my link. So maybe when you're putting out the show, you'd put the...
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're gonna put it at the end of the video so they can capture it. I'm gonna put it down below. When you have your next summit, I need you to get that to me right away so that I can cross.
Oh, I will. Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, they can check Facebook, womenbuildingauthority.com. We're still sort of building out, because the platform is newish, so we're still building out the social media for that, but they can definitely reach me there.
Yeah, and you know what? We may do something fun and have a wig party. we should do that. We should have an online wig party. People don't realize how you can change your look with a wig, girl.
I'm telling you.
And it's so easy.
It's just a lifesaver, especially in COVID times.
Oh my goodness, at any time. Well, you are absolutely the best. Again, Nikiru, thank you so much for being
Thank you, April. Thank you.
On the edge. Come back and visit me again, you promise?
I would love to. I would love to. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.